Vorlon in my mind. Too late for pebbles to vote. Three-edged sword. My ass. The Babylon Podcast was our last best hope for B5 fans. A self-contained show, 1 hour long, located on an RSS feed. A place for interviews and episode discussions for a whole bunch of humans and aliens. A shining beacon in cyberspace, all alone on the web. It was the dawn of the third age of podcasting, the year the Lost Tales came upon us all. This is the podcast about the story of the last of the Babylon stations. The year is 2007. The name of the show is the Babylon Podcast.
And hello, I am Summer Brooks.
I am Brad Boyer.
And we are here to welcome you to a special edition of the Babylon Podcast. We are bringing you a compilation of The Three-Edged Sword, the Babylon 5 audio drama, available at voicesofbabylon.com. Basically, we want to give everyone a taste of what they're missing if they're not checking out the entire show over on voicesofbabylon.com. So we are bringing you a compilation of the little snippets that have been appearing in the Babylon podcast over the past few months.
A chance to catch up.
A chance to catch up and a chance to get hooked. So, without any further ado, here we go.
This is Captain Yarstow, EAS Netherlands.
Area plane and command post reporting.
This is NBS-1, squad leader to Jean.
We are not hostile. I repeat, we are not hostile.
The core is mother, the core is father.
I will need to protect the interests of our people.
Battles we fought here at Orion 7 in the name of freedom.
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 11. The Deluge.
This is MBS-1. Prepare to reconfigure targeting systems on my mark. Steady. Steady. Now. Hold. Repeat. Hold. Do not adjust targeting systems. Maintain current profiles. By Shaquan, that was close. Where did those reinforcements come from? No matter. Target enemy Star Fury's non-critical systems. Maintain current power specifications. Repeat. Target non-critical systems. Maintain current power specs. Hopefully, Beta Squadron won't notice they're the only ones getting kills. MBS-1 to Beta Squadron. Looks like we have new orders. We will be getting a signal to withdraw once the Thebes and Thor's Hammer launch Furies. We should get cover from the Thebes and Thor's Hammer as well. I suggest you form up ahead of us and return to the Netherlands ASAP when the order is given. Once you get some distance, we'll follow. We should be able to hold out. This is Squad Leader Tijan to Agent 6. Repeat, Squad Leader Tijan to Agent 6. This is not treachery. We were unaware of any reinforcements from Orion 7. We have adjusted the power of our weapons. They will temporarily shut down the non-critical systems on your Star Furies. We are taking measures to ensure that the Netherlands forces withdraw, leaving us to cover. Repeat, we will have to fire on your ships, but we will not, repeat, will not permanently damage or destroy your Omegas.
Linked array reports 1, 2 signatures, consistent with drum point formation, on each flank. Capital ships detected, EAS config. All fighters aboard attack run, form defensive umbrella.
Confirm.
2 capital ships, Star Furies launching. Command staff assessing sitrep. All ships, full withdrawal. Repeat, full withdrawal. The mothership's new tech and data banks must be protected. Alpha, Beta, Omega, maintain umbrella. Enemy on attack vectors, 25 by 17, 21 by 8, 17 by 12. Hit and run tactics, slow them down. Gamma, Delta, fallback, support Epsilon and Zeta. Alpha 6, let him go. Stay on vector. Omega 4, Omega 2, deflect 45. 4 coming in. Beta 4, check 6. Check 6! Damn. Epsilon, prepare to dock. Can it, Zeta 5. Shield it out. Nice work, Omega 4. Beta, tighten up. Damn. Narn transmission coming in. Zeta, prepare to dock. Facet, bring enhanced drive online. Gamma, Delta, prepare to dock. New orders. All fighters, fall back to the Facet. Beta, vector 25x7. Alpha, Omega, vector 17x9. Through the Narn. Repeat. Through the Narn. Facet, prepare to engage enhanced drive.
Computer, index bridge records, 74 days after secession. Find first bookmarked after Phoebes and Forcehammer jumped into hyperspace.
Found.
Play records. Get me a comm link to Lieutenant Commander Jacobs, quickly.
Zeta 1 reading you loud and clear.
Commander, you look to be closest to the enemy capital ship. Is there any chance you could catch them?
They're running fast, but we'll try to catch up with them.
Please do, Commander. Beta Squadron is in close, along with the Narn fighters. But you can use Zeta and Delta fighters, along with the Phoebes fighter complement.
Zetas 5 and 7, take point. Delta Squadron, right flank. Phoebes Squadron, form on the left side. Hit maximum acceleration as soon as you're in formation.
I'm afraid you were right about this being a long shot, Commander. The enemy ship has just increased its speed another 20%. Reverse your thrusters and concentrate on taking out the remaining Star Furies.
All fighters, reverse course. Delta Squadron, let's try to break up that clump of Star Furies to the left. All Zetas, follow me. We're going to kick their...
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 12. The Aftermath.
Personal log. Sirius Planum Command Post. Well, we're picking up the pieces around here. Again. I just got back from an informal memorial for Beta Squad. Sending them on that suicide vector was the hardest part of this mess. What's that old line? In space, they can't hear you scream. Except for the poor schmuck on the other end of the comm. No official ceremony, of course. Officially, the attack never happened, and now... higher-ups are trying to make sure it didn't happen on their watch. Still, operational planning continues, especially with three more to avenge. The unexpected arrival of the Thebes and Thor's hammer has highlighted the limits of the linked array. While it makes hyperspace tactics and navigation an open book, it has little reach into normal space. I'm working up some experiments with the orbital beacons to try and tweak its range. It's always fun hacking navsats. The biggest debate now is the Narn. Some think they, too, were fooled by that bastard of a captain and his calm cover-up. Others say the Narn deliberately lured us in, then provided an escape route to keep both sides off balance. While I don't begrudge the reprieve they gave Alpha Squad and the Omegas, we will have to be very cautious in our future dealings with them. I just wonder what happens after they break the seal on that sample. The Corps is mother, the Corps is father. Close personal log.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 75 days after secession. Now that we're back at Orion 7, and I've had a chance to go through most of the records of the action, it's time to reflect on the battle and what preceded it. The acceleration of the enemy ship hints at the presence of advanced technology, probably of alien origin. That would be bad enough, but the way we were tracked is worse. The one ray of hope we have is that the approach of the Force Hammer and the Thebes was not picked up until they jumped into hyperspace. This means we are almost certainly safe from detection as long as we stay out of hyperspace. But while traveling through normal space might work to get a little way beyond the jump gate, it won't do for substantial journeys. We will have to make getting any information we can about this tracking system our first priority, even as we work on building up our defenses here and preparing for another assault. It was partly to start those preparations that I've ordered 10 of our orbital-based Starfuring wings to sweep the system for any unauthorized communications satellites. Partly because it was mainly to make another point altogether. A few new ships arrived during our trip, but some of the new captains were... reluctant to accept that I'd left Captain Phillips of the Phoebes in charge here. Indeed, it seems some of them expressed a reluctance about me being in charge upon my return. So this demonstration makes one further point. 120 Furies with the advantage of surprise could easily take out all offensive weapons systems on a couple of Omega-class ships. And none of the squadron leaders have expressed any doubts about my leadership.
This is NBS 2 to NBS 1. Now that the excitement is over, we need to discuss the status of the special item. I still have it, but it needs to be transferred into stasis soon. With our base out of reach, the only other option is the Netherlands or Orion 7. That puts the matter into your capable hands, Tijan. I suggest you find a way to convince the good captain to allow my fighter to dock as well. Perhaps an operational meeting with his tactical officer? Unless you want the sample to degrade. I imagine you look forward to whatever contingency plans you had in mind.
Are you done? We've been over that enough, and after this mess I'm not in the mood. To each their own, unless you'd like to discuss your preferences.
Perhaps another time. So what is the next move, Commander?
Our move, Lieutenant, is exactly what you suggested. I suppose we have the benefit of two recent engagements worth of maintenance as the perfect excuse. The good captain and I have much to discuss. I doubt he'll express his reservations with so many other meaningful topics to cover. Planning the defensive strategy for Orion with his tactical officer will allow you to keep an eye on whatever suspicions they might harbor. The last thing we need is a run-in with Earth Alliance security. So make the damage to your targeting systems look authentic. If it helps, you can start thinking about my contingency plans again.
3-Edged Sword, Episode 13, Examinations and Recalibrations.
Welcome back, Squadron Leader. I understand your fighter survived the battle more or less undamaged.
Indeed. Thank you, Captain. The armor has been weakened here and there, but that's to be expected.
All things considered, your squadron took less damage than I had expected. Then again, some of the enemy fighters got away lighter than I would have expected, too. I suppose it's always hard to predict combat in hyperspace.
Is that so? That may have been a miscalculation on our part. As you know, our weapons are more powerful than the previous Frazi class. With more preparation, they might have been calibrated more precisely, but this situation of yours forced our hand. My second-in-command, Cotrine, will bring the matter up with one of your tactical officers.
I'm sure Commander Jacobs will see to it. Though I have to say, if your fighters are still in that condition, I'm rather surprised you were carrying around sensitive materials in need of stasis. We're happy to provide you with better facilities, of course. But it wasn't among the requests I'd expected you might make of me.
Another unusual situation. We had hoped to take the stasis capsule to our base, but the circumstances would not allow it. In our position, we often find ourselves doing the unexpected in the interests of Narn liberation, such as our alliance. Unexpected, but welcome nonetheless.
The alliance is important for us as well, no matter what the numbers of ships out there may look like. It'll be even more valuable if you can get some of your other fighters online, of course. But any ship counts right now. And ships that the enemy isn't as familiar with as our own are doubly valuable. It may just be that your calibration troubles in the last battle will give the next people who tangle with your fighters a rather nasty surprise.
Surprise is always an advantage in battle, and one I prefer to employ, such as the unexpected arrival of your reinforcements. I'm somewhat surprised you didn't mention the possibility of that during our earlier discussions.
I consider telling you, Squadron Leader, but...
Please, Captain. Commander, or simply Tijan if you prefer.
Very well, Commander. As I was saying, I consider telling you, but I wanted to focus on the more likely scenario. It's always a mistake to count on anyone else coming to your rescue.
Then you can see the non-perspective quite clearly, Captain. The first time we drove the Centauri from our world, we were alone. The situation is hardly any better now. Which is precisely why I have done what I have done, Captain.
Yes, at the end of the day, we all have to do the important things ourselves, like ensuring that our weapons are properly calibrated.
Captain.
I mean no disrespect, Commander, and I can only guess at your circumstances prior to our arrival. But your fighters had already been damaged. We already knew your long-range sensors were offline, and now I understand that your weapons were improperly calibrated as well. I have all the sympathy in the universe for the plight of your people.
Sympathy.
But, as your ally, I need to know we can depend on you when the time comes. We're going to need something to work with to get the rest of the fleet and the civilian authorities to go along.
You have no... Of course. Forgive me, Captain. It is a reasonable expectation. For what it's worth, we were returning from an unexpected engagement with the Centauri Patrol. We lost 3 fighters. More importantly, 3 good Narn. There has been little time for mourning the dead since the occupation.
I understand. And the way you talk about the Centauri, I can only assume that you've had plenty of experience dealing with them.
Experience? Oh yes, Captain. I have had experience.
Personal log, Sire Planum Command Post. It's been getting a little testy on base. There's rumors about a board of inquiry being convened to investigate the Netherlands operation, and questions are being asked about how the Narn were brought on board in the first place. Vester pushing the attack as the Clark collaborators, looking for a chance to take him down a peg. They still believe rule from within serves our best interests, and Vester's influence has always been their biggest roadblock. I know he convinced me of their folly long ago. So, the fishing expedition is about to begin. Not that they'll find much. I rebuilt most of this comm system myself when the Psychops expanded the surveillance net. The encryption on this log is enough to give a Vorlon a headache, and the nested relays run so deep, I can send a message to Proxima while making it look like I'm ordering bad spoo sent to the Narn embassy. Not that I'll pull that prank again any time soon. Cora's mother, the Cora's father. Close personal log. Three-Edged Sword, Episode 14. Small Problems.
As you might expect, Commander, our access to the Earth Force data net was cut off after the secession. But we managed to get local copies of most of the database before it was. What we don't have, we can get from other sources if we really have to. And while what we have only has limited data from the Centauri, their policy on Narn fugitives, and the Narn military in particular, is not what you'd call a secret.
Of course.
We managed to find your name eventually, and it has quite a price tag attached to it. Preferably alive, but that's negotiable with the Centauri.
Tempted, Captain?
If I were, you'd be dead or in chains, and your fighters would be floating wreckage. With your rank and the advanced fighters, I can see why you'd be high on the Centauri wish list. But the difficulty in getting this information indicates that Centauri intelligence took more than usual pains to try to keep the knowledge of your liberty to themselves.
Ah. You want to know why the Centauri are so interested. Why would they place a humble squad leader at such great value?
If we are allies, we should know what we're getting into. Wouldn't you agree, Commander?
A fair point. Let me tell you one true thing about the Centauri, Captain. Their hatred of the Narn is hardly a secret. They trumpet their conquests to the galaxy on every possible occasion. They celebrate their butchery. But the details, Captain, the details they keep to themselves. The Centauri have a saying, large problems come from small problems. A truism of the universe, they would say. A truism they happily apply to the Narn at this very moment. When the occupation came upon us again, it was first a matter of population control. Bands of Centauri sent from village to village, weeding out the violent resistance, breaking the backs of the survivors. But that was not enough. Violence, they say, runs deep, fueled by anger and pride. So they search for those qualities as well, and purge them. For the good of the Narn, they say. And sooner or later, when the able-bodied men and women are imprisoned or slaughtered, they will stop and consider. Large problems come from small problems. And they will look into the eyes of every Narn child and see, reflected there, the anger and bitterness of loss and subjugation. They will see hundreds, thousands, even millions of small problems. They did it to us once, Captain. They were driven off our world before they could exact their final solution to
non-aggression. I should know. I was simply a small problem when I killed my first Centauri.
So you're saying that's what's driving them? The need to correct what they see as a mistake?
No. Though that would be enough, that is not the only reason.
Then why?
Because I know the secret of their success, Captain. Because they know what I know, and what I intend to do about it.
Personal log, Sirius Planum Command Post. It's official now. The Board of Inquiry has been convened. Investigators have been dispatched to Sirius Planum, as well as out to the Vasset. They've started at the bottom of the chain of command, no doubt hoping they can trip up an underling. Being a junior officer, my classmate has already been questioned. Communications are supposed to be restricted during the investigation, but there's always essential traffic to piggyback on. She only managed a short, coded message, but said they are focusing on the Narn involvement. No surprise there. I just hope the Clark Loyalists are more concerned with us jeopardizing the Centauri Alliance. They tend to obsess on inside-the-dome political minutiae. It can blind them to our subtler means of persuasion. It's too bad the Netherlands isn't debris right now. What happened in hyperspace would stay in hyperspace. We knew victory would forgive us our trespasses. Defeat just brings opportunities to expose them. Close personal log. Open comlink.
Agent 6, please report to briefing room number 2. Immediately.
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 15. Moments of Reflection.
Come in. Ah, Agent 6. Please, have a seat. I am Theodore Tam. The command staff has assigned me to investigate the attack on the EAS Netherlands. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that my questions carry their full authority. You will answer me as you would answer them.
Of course. Serving the Corps is my life.
But it hasn't always been. I've been reviewing your file. You have a very interesting background, especially for someone in such a sensitive position.
I know my path to the Corps was, as you say, unusual, but I think my actions have proven my loyalty and dedication.
Your loyalty is not in question, but I would like to verify some of these details. Your father was a member of a criminal syndicate.
Yes, he ran a crew for the Granada Syndicate.
And you were turned over to the Psycops after you were arrested?
Yes.
Following in your father's footsteps?
No, I wasn't working for my father, or his bosses.
What were you arrested for?
I was caught trying to hack into the Earth Force network. Actually, I'm happy I got caught.
Why?
Because it brought me into the Corps.
Let's move on to the situation at hand. You were manning the comms when the Netherlands was attacked.
Yes.
And you sent the message to the Narn fighters.
We needed to thread a message to the Narn without the Netherlands catching it. I was the best qualified to do that.
What did we offer the Narn?
We offered them intel on Earth Force and Centauri positions.
Putting EA forces at risk and directly violating the Earth-Centauri Alliance.
Three of our own were dead. The Narn are a spent force. The risk to EA forces was minimal. We had to offer them something to tip the balance in our favor. The command staff signed off on it.
And I am here to find out whether they were ill-advised or misled. I'll remind you that three more of our own are now dead.
You might want to explain that, Commander.
I'm sure you've heard the rumors, Captain, that the Centauri had help in their war against us.
I've heard all of the usual conspiracy theories that crop up after someone loses a war. And even a few things that were actually worth listening to.
The rumors are true. My brother and I were involved in several projects commissioned by the Kari. Well over a year ago, Ambassador Jakar contacted us for a specific mission. after the Centauri attack on Quadrant 37. He was sure there was someone else out there. Using our resources, my brother and I helped Jakar track this unknown enemy to a world on the rim of explored space. Jakar himself led a reconnaissance mission. My brother went with him. I remained on homeworld to brief the Kari. My brother never returned. In the end, we were sure that the ancient enemy as described in the Book of Jaquan had returned. Proof was more elusive. The Kari ignored our warnings.
Then you believe this ancient enemy of yours provided the Centauri with assistance during the war?
I am sure of it. Until taking personal command of this advanced battle squadron, I was dedicated to helping Jakar maintain his position on Babylon 5. All for the chance to gain allies against both the Centauri and our ancient enemy. We suspect there are others who know about the connection between our ancient enemy and the Centauri. Some of them are humans, others Mimbari. Before I left Babylon 5, Jakar asked me to discover the truth behind that unusual alliance as well. I got as far as a name. Rangers. Have you heard anything about them, Captain?
I hear many things, Commander, but for the time being the humans I'm most interested in are the ones working for Clark. Our conflict with them, especially what passes for our intelligence and counterintelligence efforts, are my chief concern when it comes to rumors these days.
When I first arrived on Babylon 5, Jakar taught me a valuable lesson. Something tells me it was a favorite of his. He said, "No one here is exactly what he appears." It was a lesson about Babylon 5, but I suspect, Captain, it is just as true here at Orion 7.
I suspect it applies just about everywhere, Commander, and I'm certain it applies here.
True. For instance, the circumstances of your attack on Syria Planum. I've heard the version of the truth offered by your interstellar network news, both then and now. Enough to know that there must be more to the story. So, just why did you attack Syria Planum, Captain?
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 16. Probing Questions.
Technically, Commander, I didn't attack Syria Planum. I attacked a specific installation located there.
You are evading the question, Captain.
Very well, if you insist. There is little to tell, though. We traced some illicit communications to that site. The encrypted traffic by itself would have been enough to justify an attack. The fact that it's a Psi-Corps facility just confirmed things. Whatever they may pretend about not being a military operation, the Psi-Corps is part and parcel of Clark's intelligence apparatus. That means I don't want him involved with anything on Orion 7 in any way, shape, or form. Which brings us to the ultimate reason for the attack. I attacked that facility because I chose to attack it.
That you chose to do it would appear obvious, Captain. My interest is in your motivation.
Perhaps, but life is choice, and it's important to keep that in mind. An old Earth philosopher once said, "I think, therefore I exist." Yet, "I choose, therefore I exist," is at least as valid. The situation here is what it is today because I chose to protect Orion 7 from Clark to the best of my abilities.
I never would have taken you for such an introspective soul, Captain. Still, it must have been a difficult choice to make for a military man, to act against your own government.
I didn't find it particularly difficult. The intelligence angle is far more difficult to decide about than who to stand with, or who to stand against. Even at the start, I had to be careful about how I approached Captain Phillips of the Phoebes. I was tempted not to try it, to just fire into the other ships present. But I chose to try, and she agreed. That gave us the strength to drive the EAS Heracles off. And the fact that we kept our hands clean while taking a firm stand influenced the choices of others to come here and join in the defense.
And now our battle squadron is also here.
Exactly. Like everyone else, you are now here, because of the choices you have made.
Still, Captain, choices have reasons and purpose. You've told me little about why you decided to stand against your own government.
Because what happened at Mars would have happened here as well if someone hadn't made a stand. Clark has no more qualms about bombing civilians than the Centauri did when they invaded your homeworld. I've been on the receiving end of heavy bombardments myself, Commander. I won't let others go through them just because someone's political ambition makes it convenient.
On that point, I think we understand each other, Captain.
Agent 6. My fellow investigator on the Vasset has been examining the attack logs. He's found discrepancies in the probes released during the run-up to the battle. At T-minus 2 hours 15, 4 probes were released. We can find no authorization for that action.
I ordered their release myself.
Without authorization?
Tweaking the array was my responsibility. Events were moving so fast, I must have forgotten to inform the command staff of all of my actions.
Time pressure is no excuse for evading your chain of command. Were the probes standard issue?
No, they were modified.
Why?
At the time, we were trying to focus the array onto specific areas of interest. I hoped the probes would extend its range and effectiveness.
And who modified the probes?
Serena Metcalf, the Vasset's comm officer. We were classmates at the Academy. She's familiar with my methods and systems.
I see. That does corroborate what my colleague found. However, some of your methods are a little too independent. You will be expected to follow proper protocol from now on.
Yes, sir.
But there is no denying your effectiveness. You came up with the idea for the linked array?
Yes, our sensor capacity was heavily damaged by the Netherlands. I realized the hyperspace beacons could be used as a conduit.
You have quite the reputation as a comm wizard. Where did that come from?
Ham radio.
You mean shortwave?
Yes. There is still a small group of enthusiasts who enjoy the challenge of bouncing radio waves off the ether and seeing how far they can reach. Eventually, I moved on to tweaking more modern comm systems.
Tweaking? As in hacking? The start of your life of crime?
It was more of a game at first, seeing if I could crack secure systems.
You were suspected of a long list of infiltrations and cyber larceny. Even the use of unauthorized scans to gain access. They were ready to throw the book at you.
Another reason I'm thankful the Psycops intervened.
You've done quite a bit of work for Bester's team, haven't you? Designed most of their surveillance net and sonic subliminals.
I just try to help them bring others like myself into the fold.
Thank you, Agent 6. That will be all. For now.
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 17. Questions of Authority. Open personal message. Encryption, Green Dome. Serena, Tam has finished up here at Sirius Planum. He didn't find the smoking gun the command staff were looking for, so our activities are safe for the moment. However, we have drawn their attention, so we have to be extra careful from here on. Using the lensing probes proved sufficient cover, especially since they did enhance the array, but my days of issuing unauthorized orders are over. Although, the failure of the attack helped in one way. We were so busy trying to recover Star Furies, nobody remarked on the loss of a few probes. I checked out Tam after our meeting. He's a Clark loyalist through and through, just like your interrogator on the Vasset. Absolutely convinced our best path is working from within, and Clark's our man. They never realize they cede too much power to the mundanes and help keep us from our rightful place, above them. Unfortunately, we have to play by their rules for a while. In the wake of the hyperspace debacle, the Loyalists have taken control of the planning and tactics for the upcoming Orion 7 mission. We are now working in full cooperation with, or should I say, subservience to, Earth Force. All orders will come from above. I am just a happy conduit, deploying our forces as others see fit. It makes me sick. I know where my loyalties lie, and they don't include cleaning up a mundane hack's missteps. Let's just hope they're given enough latitude to hang themselves. The Corps is mother, the Corps is father. Sirius Planum out. Close personal message. Piggyback on status request, Comm Section, Mothership Facet.
It seems you have at least as interesting a background as I do, Captain.
And unlike your history, mine isn't known to Centauri intelligence. A happy state of affairs I'd like to preserve. For that matter, I'm pretty sure Earth Intelligence has lost anyone who knew since Clark took over. Hopefully without anyone having the information extracted from them first.
But surely there must be others who know.
There were 12 of us to start with. 7 are still alive. And there were a handful of intelligence types who were involved in the debriefings. Depending on what happened in intelligence, I doubt there are more than 10 people left in all. Which, quite frankly, is still more than enough.
Then if I may ask, Captain, there's something I've been wondering about.
And that would be?
You've broken with your government. In fact, this happened months ago, yet you still refer to your ship as the EAS Netherlands. That implies you still consider yourself a part of the Earth Alliance.
We haven't broken with the Earth Alliance as such, just with its present government. I rather imagine you feel the same way about Narn and the current Centauri puppet government. Besides, the only other name that seemed to have any backing was the Federal Orion Freedom Fleet, which poses two problems. One, it incorrectly implies the fleet is under the authority of the Orion 7 federal government, and two, I refuse to call my ship the F-Off Netherlands.
I see your point about the Earth Alliance and its government. But I must admit I know little about the details of the Orion 7 government.
It's been a source of some debate and confusion, both in the fleet and on the planet. When I decided to stand with the government during the secession, some people figured it meant shifting my allegiance from EarthGov to the Orion 7 government. But my intention has always been to keep the fleet an independent force.
Sorry to come in on your private line, Yarsto, but your comm people said you've been having trouble. I figured I'd better hit your private link to remind you.
Of the tactical briefing, yes. I'll be with you within the hour.
Understood. Phillips out.
As you'll have heard, I'm going to have to cut this meeting short, Commander. I have some reports to review before the briefing, and I'm meeting Captain Phillips on the Phoebes, so I'm already losing time in transit.
I understand, Captain. Sometimes life in command seems to be more about briefings and meetings than about battles or strategies. And I should see to our preparations as well. I will contact you shortly to discuss our plans.
Three-Edged Sword, Episode 18, Thinking Ahead.
Open Vasset Status Report. Decryption, Port Marion.
Open personal message. Encryption, Green Dome. Well, old friend, glad we dodged the bullet this time thanks to that Lansing cover story. If you hadn't made that work, I doubt I'd be sending you this. As it is, the ship is buzzing with news of reassignments. The Loyalists are moving trusted members into key positions. Some are transferring onto the attack force, others into supervising roles here on the Vasset. They want to be sure there's no question Orion 7 is run their way. I'm safe, for now, thanks to all those calm tricks you taught me at the Academy. Just don't count on me for any more special assignments. They've got me on a very tight leash, and I don't share your love of living on the edge. And, by the way, mister, you'd better hope the precautions worked. If I ever see a telepathic Narn with my bone structure, I will track you down. Don't forget, on the combat mat, I taught you a thing or two. The core is mother, the core is father. Close personal message. Piggyback on Syria Planum status report.
Open personal log. Serena taking a back seat isn't unexpected. I was a little surprised she was willing to go this far out on a limb in the first place. And with the focus shifting out of hyperspace, I can respect her wishes. I certainly have no desire to relive that body slam. The important thing now is getting a read on Tijan, while they're still in hyperspace and away from a lab. The Loyalists may be officially running this show, but tipping the balance by any means necessary is still our priority. facing a much larger force may leave him more amenable to another equipment glitch. New fighters are such finicky beasts, and an unexpected opening may be all we need. The Corps' mother, the Corps' father. Close personal log.
Welcome aboard, Captain.
Thank you, Captain.
I'm glad you made it back in one piece. Things could have gotten ugly if you hadn't.
You'd probably have had more support than you'd think to take over command. But I wouldn't have gone if I hadn't been pretty confident of getting back in one piece.
You may have been confident, but the odds were not that good, even with the intelligence you had.
Perhaps, but I'm quite confident in my ability to command a ship in single action. Larger engagements are more your specialty, which is why I'm here. We're going to have to update the system defense plans based on the new force levels.
It'll be difficult to do any definitive updates without knowing what sort of opposing forces we'll be facing. The problem comes from having too many things to defend that are too far apart. The one thing we can be sure about is how they won't come at us in the same way they did last time.
If I'd run into that ambush, I'd certainly think twice about jumping in close to the planet again. What worries me is that I might consider moving against the industrial nodes in the asteroid belt.
We're going to have to leave the asteroids vulnerable. We can post a couple of fighter squadrons in the section of the belt furthest from us. But we're going to have to keep all capital ships concentrated between the planet and that gate. That's going to be the main battle area.
Then if we can't reinforce the asteroids further, could we maybe leave an opening in our main force? Something to draw the enemy into attacking our main line. Obviously, it would have to be a weakness we could counteract quickly.
If you think you can leak the right intelligence to the enemy, the rest should be fairly easy.
Commander Tajan, mission update to Base Commander Duprek. I have concluded my discussions with Captain Yarstow on the EAS Netherlands. I have much to think about, but in the end, I am more convinced than ever that my plan is the correct one. That said, the situation is more complicated than I had expected, given what I have seen of the Orion 7 defenses. We have little information regarding the effect of strength of the forces aligned with the Psi Corps, however, so the tactical situation could change very quickly. Nothing can be taken for granted. Lieutenant Cotrine should return from her mission soon. If nothing else, it should allow us to complete our repairs before the battle commences. Now that we are approaching the decision point, I will need to take Cotrine into my complete confidence. She should know what our agenda must be, if anything should happen to me. If I am killed, she will need to see this through. Once that obligation is fulfilled, I will contact Agent 6. We have been out of contact for quite some time, and as I mentioned, there are holes to be filled in our intelligence. Then it will be time to discuss tactics with Captain Yarstow. So much to do, so little time. And only the fate of our most advanced fighters in the balance. Commander Tajan out.
Three-Edged Sword. Episode 19. The die is cast.
Captain's log, EAS Netherlands, 80 days after secession. Though our scouts have only found hints of the incoming enemy forces so far, we're starting to shift into our defensive formations. It's now clear that the attack is coming, and that it's days away rather than weeks. I'd rather have had more time to integrate our latest arrivals into the fleet, but there's little point in wishing for time we were never going to get. Mark recording cut point. Connect communications. Audio only.
Captain Yarstow? Captain Drake, EAS Seth here.
Yes, Captain. What can I do for you?
I would like to go over the tactics for the coming battle in some more detail. My position on the left flank seems awfully weak to me, and I'm not too keen on those Narn fighters you assigned to watch my back.
I understand your concerns, Captain, but you're furthest away from the most likely jump zone, and we have to take a chance somewhere. We might be able to scrape together another squadron of Star Furies to reinforce the Narn, if you really think you need more fighters.
It's not the number of fighters that worries me, but the performance difference between Frosty-class fighters and Star Furies. I understand these are advanced models, but their performance in hyperspace was hardly stellar.
Then I believe I can set your mind at ease. The maintenance they've received should serve to close that performance gap.
I suppose that assurance will have to do then, Captain. Drake out.
Squad Leader Tujan, personal log. I have just completed a lovely conversation with Agent 6. I can only imagine what has transpired in the days since the battle in hyperspace, but something is happening. Even if he intends to keep his word, I have to wonder if he has the authority to make it happen. Needless to say, that would complicate matters. The last thing we need in the middle of a firefight is...
Base Commander Duprec to Commander Tujan. Please respond.
This is Commander Tujan switching to priority channel. What happened to the comm silence?
I received your message and passed it on, as per our protocol. That should have been the end of it, but then I received a message in return. I was given an encrypted file to pass on to you. I imagine the details will be included.
What did he tell you?
We are no longer alone, Tujan. Now, we have allies.
Allies? Tell me, did he happen to say anything about Rangers?
Not to me. Does it matter?
Perhaps not. Did he at least tell you who would be helping us? We've heard this before. Leftover food and supplies?
No, just that it involved mutual friends on Babylon 5, and that your work on Orion 7 may be more important than it has ever been.
First, there's a battle to be won, or at least survived. Message has been received. I suggest we resume comm silence until my plan is realized and the alliance is secured. This is Squad Leader Tujan to EAS Netherlands. Please put me through to Lieutenant Katrine.
Finally, extreme liberties were taken with established protocols, as well as a blatant disregard for the core hierarchy. The approach to the Narn was completely unauthorized and could threaten our influence over mundane authorities if discovered. These reckless tactics favored by the isolationists within the Psycops cannot be tolerated. Agent 6's key role was a troubling sign that their influence is spreading. However, I suggest leaving him in place for now. This concludes my report on Operation Dutch Courage. The Corps is Mother, the Corps is Father. Submitted by Theodore Tam, en route to EAS Pendragon. Close report. Transmit to Psycor, Earth Dome. Encryption, Anvil.
Open personal log. The Loyalists have finished their witch hunt and come up with wrist slaps all round. Not the full-scale purge they were hoping for, but they seem content with gaining the upper hand for now. Of course, the upper hand for them means assisting the Earth Force attack on Orion 7. The administration is getting even more paranoid, having already had ships at Orion 7 turn on them. These crews are heavy with night watch, and the captains have been cherry-picked. Only those who enthusiastically follow orders, especially against civilians, have made the cut. A loyal group, but I fear these opponents may require more creativity than this band of automatons is capable of. Luckily, the back channel is still in play. The alliances at Orion 7 are very fragile, and with a push in the right place, at the right time, can still fracture. It's possible that we can swing the battle and discredit the Loyalist tactics. The Corps is Mother. The Corps is Father. Close personal log.
Three-Edged Sword, Episode 20, On the Banks of the Rubicon.
Captain's Log, EAS Netherlands, 82 days after secession. The enemy attack force is starting to come closer and closer to Orion 7. Which means we're now busily, not to say frantically, trying to make sure we're ready for them. Even though we've only just come back from a mission which saw no damage, there are still plenty of systems to be checked. My engineers were never 100% satisfied with the integration of the updates into the defense grid. Unfortunately, now that we've got time, if not a great deal of time, they're pushing for work to reinforce the conduits. Even more unfortunately, they have actually started this work without consulting me, which means they are now racing against the clock to try to finish this work before the enemy forces actually arrive. Of course, if they had brought this to my attention, I'd probably have vetoed it for precisely this reason. but I'll be glad of the better conduits, if they're finished before the enemy shows up.
This is MBS-1 to MBS-2. MBS-2, please respond. I take it you're still annoyed?
Annoyed? Annoyed is just the beginning. Annoyed is just the first line of the first page of a very, very long book. Would you like to hear the rest of it? Page 23 is a particular favorite of mine.
All right, consider this then. Our systems are repaired beyond what we might have done ourselves. We have at least 2 new fighters to modify when the battle is over. We have confirmation that a battlecruiser is out there, just waiting. And here we are, a well-trained special intelligence team with engineering expertise and solid flight experience. And while you were gaining the trust of Commander Jacobs, I had more than enough time to speak with the good captain.
I see.
And now I believe I understand him, Katrine. Enough to recognize this strategy for what it is, and the opportunity it affords us.
Opportunity? We've been assigned to the weak flank.
Yes, we have. And consider the assumptions that will be made on both sides of the firing line. And then remember which side we're truly on.
Our own.
Mission log, Operation Sirius Rising, Sirius Planum Command Post reporting. The EA attack force is approaching Orion 7. The Black Omegas, plus Alpha and Beta squads, have been transferred off the Vasset and will be serviced by 3 EA ships. Command and control has been transferred to a Psi-Corp officer in-system. He will issue orders directly to the Psi-Corp forces, in most cases relaying the advice of the command staff. Open secure comlink, Psi-Corp liaison, EAS Pendragon. Pendragon, this is Sirius Planum.
Pendragon here. Field Officer Theodore Tam reporting.
Officer Tam, I didn't know you had tactical expertise.
Oh, didn't our previous encounter make that clear? Well, no matter. I am fully versed in planetary attack protocols.
Still, it's unusual for a field commander to have no combat experience.
After the Netherlands attack, the command staff wanted to ensure that all of their orders would be followed, to the letter.
Let me just offer a word of advice based on my recent experience. Commanding real pilots is very different from moving and targeting blips on a training console. It's tougher when you know the ones getting the orders.
Thank you, Agent Six. I am touched by your concern. Luckily, I arrived after the squadrons. There's been no time to develop any personal connections, so I am sure that I'll be able to maintain my objectivity.
I see. That is lucky for you. Let's move on. How are the ship captains reacting?
They are a little disgruntled at the crowding. We made the concession to deploy our forces immediately after jumping in. That will clear the base for the EA fighters. This also gives us the advantage that, if we are not detected immediately, we can hang back to target weaknesses as the attack develops.
So, we'll be the wild card in the battle.
Yes, and hopefully the trump card.
I hope so too, Officer Tam. Sirius Planum out. Close mission log.
Jump points forming. They're concentrating on the left flank. Right flank ships maintain formation. Do not let them pull you out of position. I repeat, stay in formation.
This is Captain Yarstow. All ships prepare to fire as soon as the enemy is within range. Immediate fire is authorized. Don't wait for them to take the first shot. I repeat, immediate fire is authorized.
Three-Edged Sword is brought to you by Voices of Babylon.
Purple battles green. Human leader emerges. Need to update rules.
And welcome back to the Babylon Podcast. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this chance to get caught up on Three-Edged Sword. And Summer, where can they find out more on that?
The website to find out more detail about the Three-Edged Sword is voicesofbabylon.com. Also, you can email them at tes@voicesofbabylon.com or leave them some voicemail at 206-337-1946.